Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There, like my knee and like thigh is quite hairy, but look at the shin. It's like Venus advert.
What have you ever seen a knee as hairy as that? Most people don't have hair on their knees.
Never seen it.
I got hairy legs, but just not on the front, like on the shin.
No, I'll get you worried about the hair falling out on your shin. I would be too. But you should also be worried about how much your knee looks like a monkey's knee.
Well, you know, I think you underestimate the attraction that women have towards dad
hairy knees
and hair. Honestly, you go on
hairy knees and shadow boxing
these days. It's all they can talk about is hairy hair and dad bods.
I'm all for that kind of conversation. Now that I've got a dad bod. There have been two periods in my life where I didn't have just a non-existent body, like a body that you look in a mirror and go, that could be the body of any white man,
What do we class as a dad bod? I don't feel like I've got a dad bod. I feel like I'm on the right, the better side of bods.
I don't know, Al. I've seen your body. I would say that your body's quite unique. It's almost like they should study your body because it's there's no shape to it. It's just like
Alex's
body is like one of those resuscitation dolls. It's just a
I think dad bod is classed as having like hips round the back, like fatty deposits above the waistline. And
this isn't our pod, is it?
The extra inch. This is the extra inch pod. Windy, go.
Spurs in full cry here.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name's Windy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Hello, Windy.
And our tactics guy, and a man who I'm pleased to say is clothed, at least from the waist up. It's Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
Just the waist up, that is correct.
And we're also joined by our friends from the Fighting Cock podcast. We have Flav, Ricky, Alex, and T. Hello, boys.
Fuck hello. Off.
Hello.
Shark, Alex, you've waited all this time to get on The Extra Inch, and the first two words you say, the first two words that you grace our podcast with are fuck off.
Yeah, well, this is why. It's ridiculous. You said when we started this, you're like, I want to be a nice little mix between proper tactics and men of the people. And I thought, right, well, I know who's going to ask. And who did he ask? That gangly one up there, the Italian. As a man of a people, give me a break.
And sorry to cut you, Windy. I'm not really sorry, because as the man who's practically responsible for The Extra Inch, I've never been invited on your podcast.
You've literally been on it?
Yeah, there you go.
I interviewed you for it.
About what? When?
Wasn't it recently as well?
You're
it wasn't
very years forgetful ago. It was today. Like... this is about a year ago, baby. Man. You were on it.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, sorry. That was a good one.
I'm joking. I'm a big fan of The Extra Inch. I'm very happy to be here. It's lovely to see all your faces.
Me too.
Likewise, and yours. If you're listening to this and you haven't yet listened to part one of this podcast...
Of course I've
listened. Yeah, exactly. You need to go to the Fighting Cock feed and listen to that. In this half, we're going to be answering your questions. So let me start off with one from Paulie G. Paulie G says, Gareth Bale, mistake? T, how have you found Bale so far? And do you think... do you think it's a mistake for us to sign him?
Well, my
said on actually on Telegram that it's like Dawson and Andy Reid. And I guess Bale is Andy Reid and Reguilón is Dawson. So it feels a bit like that, really. Was it a mistake? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of, you know, he boosted morale. You know, he's kind of, he knows how to win. And he's been useful in that way on the pitch. Maybe not so much. So maybe he presumed he'd just be able to play his way into form and fitness. That's not happened. But season's got a long way to go. And I think he'll have a say in this season. I mean, he scored a winner at Brighton, and I think he'll get a few more goals for us. But he looks a bit off the pace at the moment.
Do you not feel that the signing was worth it just for the nostalgia and the good feeling alone? Like, I got so many good vibes from Bale signing. It made me feel very, very happy, all the lead up towards it. And it's not my money, so why do I care? It's, you know, if that's how Daniel Levy wants to spend his money, then it's fine by me. Flav, what do you reckon?
I think £13 million is quite an expensive price to pay just to make the supporters feel good. That said, you're right. It was a wonderful period. I agree with T that he still has a role to play this season. I think his performance against Leicester raised many questions on Twitter about the validity of him becoming a force for Tottenham this season. But I thought that was unfair. I actually thought that when he had the ball, he looked to create. He looked to be inventive. He showed a willingness to take the ball on and find players. Like when he got the ball, he was looking up, trying to find any kind of movement. And it was probably because of the how our system fell apart when we lost Ndombele when he was taken off and Lo Celso, we lost to injury, that we kind of it seemed that he was a bit disjointed. But he seemed like the guy who was trying to make things happen. And so I was actually encouraged by his performance against Leicester. And he did a run with the ball once in that game, which that's what Gareth Bale does, right? He gets the ball and he bloody runs with it and he goes past people. And I saw him do that once. So I thought, all right, he's still got that in his locker. He's still got the technique. So, why not be hopeful rather than being one of these people who are just going to dismiss him at this point? Like, the question, I get the question the guy's asked, but it's like, just wait and see. He's played 4 or 5 games against Farmers. So let's just see what he can do. Let's not count him off. He's still, still definitely, you know, capable of doing great for Spurs. And so I'm happy that he's here. I'm happy we signed him.
Nice. Nice to have a bit of positivity. Ricky, I'm going to ask you this. This is from Russ Green. He says, if the Spurs first team was Christmas dinner, which part of the plate would each player be and why? Chuibia being gravy because he brings the whole plate together, but is never seen as the star of the plate.
Oh, that's a bloody good question.
So what do you have on your Christmas dinner plate? You've got turkey, you've got...
Turkey, shit, man. I'm going to say it. I really... Turkey is the only time that comes out at Christmas. Because
absolutely.
Would turkey be... Sissoko be turkey? It's like, every game he's there, but not everyone rates it.
Yeah, so that's a good shout. That is a good shout.
What else you got?
But I think one of my favourites of not only Christmas dinner, roasting as well, stuffing. Like, just absolutely love it. Absolutely adore it. And I think Reggie is going to be my stuffing. Exciting. Just love it. Every time I set eyes on it, want it.
Lovely bit of flavour.
Yeah, lovely bit of flavour. I think we're going to have Dyer as the roast potato.
Bardi will definitely approve of that.
Harry Kane would be roast potato.
No. Harry Kane is pigs in blanket. Just the best.
Yeah. Massive crowd pleaser.
Yeah. Just everyone wants it. No matter how much you'll fall from a Christmas dinner, is there any pigs in blankets left? Always want more.
I was going to say, Serge Aurier is Brussels sprouts. They're all right, but they're capable of making an almighty stink.
Nice.
And Sissoko is the pancetta or the bacon that you put on the Brussels sprouts to make them palatable and to cover up their
nice. I love it, Vardy. You put a lot of thought into this. He's the man with the analogies. what we got left? So, what veg do you have, Ricky, on your Christmas dinner plate?
Well, sprout. I've got the carrot and swede mash, like that.
Matt, why are you mashing up the carrot and swede? I'm presuming you've got carrot and swede, but you've also got like mash, but you've also got carrots, like roasted carrots.
Yeah.
Wait.
Potatoes.
You guys have two types of potatoes.
Yes.
explains a lot.
No, not two types of potato. It's just roast potatoes.
Oh, Flav has mashed potato and roasties.
No, I don't. I don't have the fucking thing that he mentioned. That what he just said was an abomination. The carrot and swede mash.
Yeah, carrots.
No, carrots. It's carrots and swede mashed up. Yeah. Like baby food.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that. I like roast carrots. I like carrots how they come. Right, roasted.
I feel like we're getting off the point.
All right, sorry. This isn't like what the best bits of a Christmas dinner is quite divisive. So I'll step back here.
What are you thinking, Ricky?
Well, trying to think what else to have on there as well.
Well, I'm thinking so one of the things on the Christmas dinner plate that not everyone has, but it brings it all together as well as the gravy, is the cranberry sauce. You need cranberry sauce on there. So
I'm a fan of cranberry sauce.
It's quite divisive. It's not essential, but it can bring some joy.
Lamella.
Eric Lamella.
Yeah.
We were thinking along the same lines, weren't we?
And it's proper expensive, Rick. It doesn't do what we wanted it to do.
Sweet and sharp.
He is.
I don't want to reduce it back to a conversation about Christmas dinner, but everyone likes horseradish, right?
No.
I do, but not on my roast dinner.
No, horseradish goes with beef, man. Come on.
Fuck off. What are you talking about, Flav? You have ketchup on spaghetti bolognese. This isn't a conversation for you.
It makes it better. It makes it better. I don't care what anyone says.
Flav, do you have ketchup on roast dinner as well?
If no one was watching, I'd probably put it on.
It's got the palate of a 10-year-old.
Well, I eat horseradish. Horseradish is grown-up food, mate.
We'll move on from Christmas dinner. So when we ask these questions, there are quite a lot of negative ones. So rather than go through them all, I'm going to group them up into one. So Thomas Wood said, is fatigue and fixture congestion finally catching up with us? Nick Osbaldiston said, how much longer can hope kill me? And Jack AER said, I know you don't want to be negative and I appreciate it, but my question is, remember fun? So let's go with that question from Jack. T, do you remember fun?
I think there was this video that Spurs put out, and it's got Reggie on Tanganga and Delhi, and it's because of a bunch of kids in hospitals at Christmas. It was really cute and awesome. That was really fun, and it reminded me I love, you know, a lot of our players. And I mean, obviously Delhi's had a bit of a tough time this season, but you know, I really think the world of him, and it's nice that the fans that he spoke to really, really appreciated him. The last three games haven't been great, but we've kind of had it all in one go. Everton are flying and they had a few bad results. I think this could be us with these three results, but I don't think yesterday was the end of the world. It might have been the end of the world to those who thought we will win the league. But most people kind of, you know, a bit more balanced and thought, well, maybe the results will come and maybe it will affect change. And also next month is January, so maybe it might make up Mourinho's mind in other ways. In terms of remember us having fun, just think of Reggie on smiling face. And if you're that much of a pervert, think of his missus.
I love you so much for that answer. That was so upbeat and lovely. So wholesome.
Welcome.
Alex, I'm going to ask you this one.
Yeah, boy.
It's from Rebecca Coys. Rebecca says, would you rather all of our players had no arms or no legs?
No arms, really? I mean, what?
The footballers, Rebecca.
Yeah, come on, Bex.
Nathan, if Hugo Lloris had no arms, would you?
That's Alex's contribution.
Would you still pick Hugo Lloris over Joe Hart?
Yeah, I reckon he can put his torso in the way better than Joe can with his forearms. To be fair, so it's not much smarter, is it? Alex, what do you reckon, mate?
Well, fuck you. Again, I feel like I have to tell everyone that I'm the only qualified football coach here. Right? You can have all your blonde highlights and your little sweater vest and XG t-shirts, all you like, right? Ask me something about, like, 50-50s or something.
Oh, you come across all aggressive, but we know you're armless, really.
Hey!
Merry Christmas.
Christmas crack joke.
T would love that. T loved that. He loves wordplay. Look at him go.
I love it when I make T happy. It doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't
all right,
mean.
I knew we'd be asked something like this. This is from Spurs Shout. Why does it always come down to fighting? Windy, Nathan, and Bardi, or Flav, Ricky, and T, which trio would win a fight against each other?
This is the only one who's actually boxed here.
So I will have you know that Nathan is a regular mixed martial arts sparrer.
Shit!
Yeah, I've done a bit. A little bit.
Yeah. Well, no. That's one. That's a guy I'm confident that you like. When you said that, I've done a bit. It's like, yeah, I can do that. You're like, yeah, you're talking bollocks. When you say, it's like when you're playing five a side, Danny Pope, it's like, can you play? Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. You know, when they say, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, they can play. It's the ones that where it come turn up in pink boots. You know that they're, they're no good. The way Nathan said that, he's rolled around with a few men and a few cages, haven't you?
and he's also done some MMA.
I think. Yeah, nice one. Yeah. No, it's not that like I've got like good, worthwhile fighting experience. I spent most of my time, I've been interested in MMA injured, so I've not got in like the hours I'd like to. But what I'm confident about is like the knowledge that like anyone who's not done any MMA training at all is basically in trouble. So
yes. I love it.
So after we've absolutely like killed Windy and Bardi, you reckon you can take
No, you're not killing me. You're not catching me.
You're already dead.
You three not going to catch me.
We're right against the wall.
Is that your fucking plan?
Barney's just up on a hill, just watching down below, getting sprinted off.
Waiting for...
Windy, you're not moving. Are you all right, mate? That was not right, Bardi.
I'd tire out...
The thing with Bardi is quicker for a long distance. Hmm. 5 yards, I'd catch him.
No.
I'd catch anyone. Put me up on the top of 5 yards.
What Nathan and I would agree with, that we'd use Windy as... Windy would be our sacrificial lamb. So we would get rid of Windy to injure one of you guys and to slow you down. Then I would tire you out, and then Nathan would come in and just grapple you to the ground and then just snap your necks easy.
You couldn't grapple all three of us, Nate.
Yeah, no, I'm confident, but I'm not 1v3 confident. You can't run away, buddy. Please.
I'll keep Flav is in bits after 100 meters. Ricky would.
Well,
Ricky
I said there's no chance I'm running after you. He's gone. He's off.
It's done.
Still the other two.
I think this is what Nate's got long hair. It's like a red flag to a bull with me. Like dirty fighting. Pull that hair. That's it. I'd just be latching on, just swinging around on it.
People listen to this haven't seen this, but everyone's got a little bit serious. Like it's like every joking, yeah, but we could have it. It's that kind of vibe going on.
Yeah, I feel like taking my shirt off.
Oh, you're not involved, mate. It's the three of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot, yeah.
Alex is just at the sidelines getting really frustrated by all of our fighting techniques.
I'm shadow boxing.
I'm the only one that's ever coached.
What's the answer? I'm guessing if Nathan genuinely has mixed martial arts experience, then he might have the advantage here. So there's your answer, I guess.
There are very few things in life in which I wouldn't put my faith in Nathan A. Clark. I think he could save my life.
Cool. Thanks for putting that one on me.
Carrying on the fighting theme, because why not? This one is from Tom. He says, who'd win in a fight, Bardi's dad or the real John Bass's mum with her soapy tits? don't get that reference, but what do we think?
Sorry, you don't.
I need to also add that John, in response, said an English fighter always beats an Italian, especially if covered in imperial leather. She's also 6 foot, so height and a reach advantage. Barney, how big's Franco?
I don't know. He's about 5'10", maybe 5'10", 5'11". He's quite tall. He's quite big. He's got strong hands. He's still got strong hands. But he wouldn't fight a lady. He's an Italian. He's very romantic. He wouldn't fight a lady.
Alex, she'd be whapping her big leathery soapy tits in his face.
He'd be giving her a massage. He'd be telling her things, taking out for dinner, and then popping his blue pills. which I found them, God. By the way.
I was going to say, if it's like son, like father, there's going to be no fighting. There's going to be cat lines all over the shop.
This is great extra
range
content.
Yeah, ultimately, you're going to have a Bardi's, what would you call it? Half sister. You'll get a half sister, and you'll be second cousins to John Bass.
Who's actually Italian. John Bass has got Italian ancestry. He's actually John Basso. That's his real name. But he anglified. I think his granddad or someone. That's what he says. Someone anglified him and got rid of the vowel.
It's mad, isn't it? Because he's so Brexit. So it's almost like he's actually completely abandoned his Italian roots. He's removed the asso to the end of John Bass because he's like, fuck that. Let's get Brexit done for the sovereign. They must be pretty sheepish now, Windy. Hey, look at what's happening. Look what they did. John Bass must be cowering. Oh my God, I fucking stopped the trucks. The trucks are stopped. Just me. 2 weeks from now, they'll still be starting. Everyone's going to turn on me on Twitter. That's what's going through John Bass's head right now. And good. Fucking good. Fuck John Bass.
I'm speechless. I literally don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Sorry.
We probably should have done the extra inch first before the beers and then done the talk.
All right, let me try and get you back on track with this one. This is a good question because I feel like it's something we can all appreciate. Martin Reynolds, he says, how do you tend to react to goals against? Against Liverpool, I just got up and walked out the room in silence with a disappointment. But against Leicester, it was to shout and criticise and call them all cunts. So, Alex, you have got a visceral reaction to goals for and against Spurs. How did you react to the goals against Liverpool?
I'm very different at home than I am in the stadium. Like, it's not quite the same. I'm much angrier and more aggressive, as you well know, in the stadium. So we played Arsenal once. Windy was next to me and he had a big Spurs scarf on. And so every time something happened that I didn't like, I'd just pull that scarf as tight as I could around his little neck. And it helped me a lot. But at home, most of the time it's just, oh, fucking hell. And then I go into the group and see who's... Usually, the problem is now with all the streams is nobody's at the same time. That's the problem. Exactly. So, no, against Leicester, it was a bit like, oh, I can see that coming. Liverpool, again, was pretty much the same. I don't know. Yeah, goals against, I'm not too bad. My different reactions come in goals scored. Some games I can just sit there and be like, yay. And other times I need to like just roar and I'm punching pillows and kicking stuff. So, it is different. It's different being at home to in the stadium. Much, much calmer, more relaxed, you know, a gent at home.
Nathan, we've seen videos of you punching pillows, punching.
Yeah, that's when we've won. I punched that pillow when Eriksen scored that goal against Man City when people tried to tell me that we weren't in a title race with Pochettino. And that game, when Eriksen won that game for us against City, I was like, yes, yes, this is the moment. And then that's when I turned round and orangutanged the pillow.
Nathan, you're going through a period with Spurs, a bit like me, where you're slightly detached. Do you find that affects your reaction to goals conceded? Are you less bothered or do you still get furious when we concede a goal?
Yeah, no, that's sort of the upside, is that like when we concede, I'm at peace. I mean, I'm a pretty, like, I don't know, I'm a pretty serene person generally when it comes to like, you know, bad shit happening, so I'm kind of at peace as it is. But like, I'm pretty calm. I'm sort of more like Alex in that, like, if my team score goals, it's first score and I'm at a game, that's when I get aggressive, which is kind of weird, isn't it, that it would be that way around. But that's when I get obviously like screaming and shouting and celebratory, but like literally, like, that's when I tell the opposition fans to fuck off. I don't know what is that about.
Oh, that's great. That's one of the things I miss most about going to Spurs, particularly Old White Hart Lane, was being in my old seat. If Bardi would sit next to me, and both of us would just go at that away end, it was a joy.
The thing I miss most about White Hart Lane is at any time, if you looked across at the Park Lane, you'll just see a wanker sign just in the air at the away support. You don't see that in the new stadium. Don't see that. Just an obligatory wanker sign. Just like that.
I hate it that Park Lane is the opposite side to the away fans now.
Ricky, what about you? You've got two daughters. So yep. You have to moderate your language, I assume.
Yeah, I try to. They get sent upstairs to the bedroom when Tottenham play, and they know that Dad has a lot of bad language, and I keep it in as much as I can. And then when we score, I can't help myself. It is so bad, and because I'm bottling it up, it's just this bile that comes out of my mouth. And I just hear my kids upstairs say, "Dad, we can hear you." Fucking good.
Put your fucking fingers in your ears.
Are they interested in Spurs, Rick?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. They absolutely love it.
I'm getting Harper involved with it properly now because I know, like, I was there when you took that first time you took your little girl to Art Lane. I want to be at our bus. So I'm trying to get her in ready, but she keeps calling Gareth Bale, Gareth Vale. And it's really pissing me off.
try her on Gareth Snail. Yeah, that's catching on.
Your snail is quicker. Yeah.
Like when Spurs score, like the question was saying about, I'm trying to watch my swearing because on the extra inch now, aren't I? Like when whenever Tottenham score or they concede, I'm still saying the C word. Like if it's they score, get in there, you bunch of. If they concede, you stupid bunch of. there's no differentiation from it. So it's, I mean, like Nathan was saying, he every time I've met Nath, he is the calmest, coolest customer. So like when we do score, I'd love to be like how do you celebrate, Nath? Is it one of those quiet, like just the fist pump at the bottom, or does it all come out with you and you, Windy, as well? I can imagine that you're quite calm and just like, yes, get in, boys, nice one. I can't help it. I don't know what happens to me. It's something takes over me.
Go on,
yeah,
Nathan.
Well, yeah, you know, it depends. Like at the moment, sat at home watching a stream or whatever, it's more of like a quiet fist pump. But like at the Fighting Cock Social, it's, you know, it's beer all over the shop, picking Barney up, swinging them around, screaming, all that good stuff. So, you know. So,
I remember having a hug with Nathan at a social event when we scored, trying to get him in a headlock. Come on!
We're just talking about the social. When Alex, it was the Man City game, and we were talking about earlier, and after, like, because I where you got, when we used to do the Fighting Cock Socials in the EV bar, you guys would take that corner in the front right next to the screen, and I can't be in it. I can't be in the middle of that pack of people. I certainly can't be at the front. I have to be as near to fresh air and the door as close as possible. So it's a shame because when I don't get to see you guys celebrate and you know, I probably should just get over that and just be with you. But I just feel so much more comfortable in a high pressure environment, just being at the back. But I hadn't seen Alex, and it had been about 10 minutes had passed after we'd just beaten Man City, and he walked through the crowd and he burst into tears as he was walking towards me. And he looked like Tony Soprano. Do your Tony Soprano face for everyone. Do your Tony Soprano face. No, that's not it. No,
it's the other one.
It was so sad. He just looked at me and he's crying tears of joy. And that's, I just miss that so much. I miss sharing football with people. And we're talking about how we celebrate. No one can fucking properly celebrate on a stream when it's all out of sync. Some of us are celebrating a minute earlier, a minute later. We can't go on WhatsApp groups. We don't want to spoil it for each other. I miss it all. I miss being with you boys.
Do you know, one of the saddest things about Christmas being cancelled is I was really looking forward to watching a Spurs game with my family. It's been so long. I haven't seen my mum and my dad and my sister at the same time for a year since last Christmas. So we've not been in the same room watching Spurs since then. I was really looking forward to that, and it's been snatched away. It's so sad.
Yeah,
it's horrible, man.
Let's end on this one. This is I couldn't resist leaving this in because it couldn't be further from the truth. But Sporting Spurs says, how often do you all get recognised on the streets because of the podcasts? Have any of you? I mean, Flav, I seem to recall you were recognised once on the street, but away from Spurs, have any of you been recognised, buddy?
Yeah, I was in a restaurant in Muswell Hill, and someone came over, and I was just talking with my wife, and someone asked, and someone was very, very nice and said some really nice things about the extra inch and the Fighting Cock. It was lovely. No one's ever came up to me and called me a wanker or said your opinion on Paulinho is shit. So everyone's been very nice.
Even though mine was proper random. Mine was, I was at work and I was visiting a client in Aberystwyth, of all places. Like, you literally couldn't get any further west. And I was doing, I was just, it was, it's like an open day thing. So I'm in this client's thing all day, selling to the public. And this guy came up to me and was like, do you support Spurs? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, is your name Alex? I said, yeah. And he said, oh, man, I listen to you all the time. And it was really, like, it was in front of clients as well. And they were like, what? I don't understand what's going on. And I loved it. I got to be honest. I was like, yeah, I'm quite a big deal.
Alex loves it. Nothing is Alex happier than when he's spotted. I've been in urinals with Alex at the football ground, and he's just talking to me. And he's having a cheeky look, and we're just chatting. And he's hoping. He loves
that. That is the most amount of bollocks I've ever heard in my entire life.
Urinal. I happen to be noticing a urinal.
Although saying that, right?
I'm talking loudly.
That did happen to me at a Foo Fighters gig in Milton Keynes. Someone came up to me in urinals.
Yeah, it's me, mate. Yeah.
Did George Michael write a song about that? I got recognised in Ragamuffin having a meal with my missus, and Bloggers Over's family just comes over and says, "Are you Tay from the podcast?" There's a soap. The only time I've been recognised outside of a Spurs context at games, it happens a lot because I've got a distinctive voice, but that's probably about the one time in 10 years that has happened outside of Spurs.
Do you remember when Flav signed that bloke's shirt?
Oh, I knew that.
It was a bloke, it's a woman, too.
Jokes on you.
You win.
Jokes on you.
Oh god, that was a tough period. That was early on, and I refused at least 10 times. And said I don't want to do this. And she said, "No, you got to. You're famous. You're on Twitter." I really don't want to. And my brothers, like you, all of you have met my brothers, I'm pretty sure. And Ryan was like, "A shirt." I was like, "No." I don't want to. Obviously, it's embarrassing. I'm like fucking celebrity signed shirts. Fucking idiots like me who don't do this. And my brother's like, no, you do sign the shirt. And I was like, no, please. And it was just to get rid of her, really, to sign the shirt and get rid of her. David Marchant, who was an early he was involved in the pod at the start, took a picture and thought, all right, I'm gonna tweet this immediately. The backlash was unreal. Who the fuck does he think he is? Signing shirts like he's some sort of fucking footballer podcast cunt. So that wasn't a great moment. Although I did get spotted when I was with my missus early doors in a sports shop JD in Swindon, and I was with the missus, and he came over and went, you Flav? And I went, yes. You're on the Football Republic. I was like, no, I've never been on there, but I am on Bull Street. I've never heard of that. So that didn't go well, but it did. Like, my missus didn't know all that stuff, so she was impressed.
Yeah, that's good.
Didn't someone deliver a pizza to your house once? And when you open the door, he recognised you from
Fuck! That's so. This is freaky. Where I'm recording right now, I live in the middle of nowhere. There's literally no one around. There's a Domino's. The only takeaway you can get to where we live, because no one would deliver this far out, is Domino's. And he turns up at the door and went, "I know you." I was like, "Mate, there's no chance. You're a Domino's man. I live in the middle of nowhere. There's no chance you can know me." He went, "Flav, Ball Street." And I was like, "Fucking hell, how is this happening?" Yeah, that was a weird one.
But, triple cheese Domino's. That used to be your staple, no?
Mm. What are you doing? What's buddy? Because that's a loaded statement. What are you saying?
He can't, that was your go-to pizza.
He can't resist. He loves it.
Triple cheese.
He's analysing what everyone else has got on their plate.
Yeah, I miss that party.
Yeah, I remember the Butterball party. That was the one I liked. The one who's slightly unhappy. That's the one. Not his little fitness. He's going to live to his 100.
That picture of him with Stambouli and Vertonghen or whoever it was, where he looks like a pudding, is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but
I love that picture.
And it's amazing. For the record, stuffed crust, cheese, and red onion and sweet corn.
Oh, mate.
What's Domino's? What, you ain't getting anything healthy at Domino's? What do you have?
Yeah, like all the meat. All the processed meat.
That's better.
I bet you do.
Yeah, it is. Tastes better.
Well, anyway, there's me saying that this question couldn't be further from the truth. And the truth is that all of you have been recognised, and it's just me that hasn't.
Have you never been recognised?
Not away from... So the only thing that I can think of is a couple of times at work, people have emailed me saying, "I really like your podcast. I'm a Spurs fan. I listen to your podcast." That's the only thing.
But
away from White Hart Lane, I've never been recognised on the street.
It's a double-edged sword, because most of the time, even at Tottenham, when someone nice comes up to me, they just want to ask about, you know, like sex in a hammock that I've had, or being caught on a camera with with no clothes on and at the bottom half. I'm pretty sure it's why my marriage failed.
I do know.
Nathan, you're very recognisable. Yeah. Have you ever been recognised on the street?
Well, obviously, every Spurs game, several people, because I'm so, like, I can be spotted from a distance across the street in a crowd. But it was after a gig sometime. I can't remember which gig it was, but I got they didn't come up to me there and then, but they, like, DM'd me on Twitter the next day to be like, "Were you at the gig last night?" So I've had that. You've now made me aware that, like, it's only a matter of time before that happens to me, and that'll be weird.
We were recognised together walking into Seven Sisters after
Sauna.
A game that we went on. It was a game.
Do you remember that?
We were with T and we got properly battered. We ended up in the Antwerp, and I think that was the last word on Spurs famous night for me. And that was, yeah, we got recognised then, I think.
What would you mean, last word on Spurs famous time?
I get drunk and I tweet things sometimes.
What though? Specifically what?
Stuff. I've changed. I think T told me off.
You got recognised at our festival. I got recognised at a festival. I was a bit worse for wear, but luckily he was nice about it. He said, "Oh, your teeth on the podcast." And I'm like, "It's seized you." Like, "Yeah, thanks, mate." I thought I kind of sobered up and spoke to him. I remember that. I was like, "Are you all right, T? I'm off my fucking face," was the first thing I said. That was a bit weird.
All right, T, I'm on the podcast. I'm on my fucking face. That's exactly what people who listen to the fighting cop, that's exactly what they want to hear from us.
Yeah. I really was. Fun times.
This has been so much fun. I hope it's all right to listen to, because it's just seven friends having a basically Zoom chat, isn't it?
But it's Christmas, man.
Maybe someone's enjoyed it somewhere.
Nathan is having kittens. Yeah. He's having kittens right now. Just saying, what is this? What are we doing?
How do I produce this?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, do what I do, just put it out, whatever happens. Yeah.
Well, I've loved it. I've wanted to do this for a while. I've wanted to do a Fighting Cock and Extra Inch thing for a while, and Christmas this year of all years felt like the right time to do it. It's just nice to spend time with my friends. I love you all dearly. And that's it for the Fighting Cock and Extra Inch Christmas special.
You've been listening to The Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Bardi for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindmer for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and his SoundCloud, D. Lindmer. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.